Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, there's an apocryphal story that's been around for some time about a church that was looking for a new pastor. A member of the pastoral search committee stood up at one of their meetings to read this letter from a potential candidate. It said, "Understanding that your pastorate is vacant, I would like to apply for the position. I've been a preacher with much success, and have also had some success as a writer. Some have said that I'm a skilled organizer. I've been a leader in most of the places where I have been. I'm over 50 years old, but have never served more than 3 years in my preceding pastorates. In some places, I had to leave town because my work caused some riots and disturbances. In a few of my previous pastorates, I must admit that I've had some conflict with other religious leaders. I've been imprisoned 4 times, but not because of any wrongdoing. My health is not great, but it does not prevent me from accomplishing my duties. My record keeping is also not great, since I have occasionally forgotten the names of those I have baptized. However, if you should call me to your parish, I promise that I will do my best for you." Well, after reading the letter, the committee member asked the others what they thought. Someone responded, "Are you kidding? Do you expect us to consider a sickly, troublemaking, absent-minded jailbird? Who does this man think that he is?" And the man smiled and said, "It is signed, the Apostle Paul." Surely this apocryphal story was constructed to check the unrealistic expectations of a pastoral search committee. But in some ways, it reflects what St. Paul himself does in our epistle lesson from his second letter to the Corinthian church. When the apostle wrote this letter to the church that he helped to establish in that city, there was a whisper campaign that was going on against him, concocted by a new group that was seeking to take over the leadership of the church. St. Paul minces no words when discussing this group. At one point, he sarcastically calls them super apostles. But in another place, he likens what they were trying to do with the Corinthians to what the devil deceptively did to Eve. In contrast, he then lays out his own resume, which we have heard this morning. He mockingly assumes a posture of boasting, probably mimicking what these false apostles had done. He starts off by saying, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I." Here he's claiming a common lineage, of course, with them as descendants of Abraham. Then he goes on to list his accomplishments. Now, if he were being completely serious here, he surely could have given a significant list, which included planting numerous churches all around the known world at that time. Or he could have listed some of the miraculous works that he had performed, including exorcisms, healing one who was lame, and even raising someone from the dead, all of which are recorded for us in the book of Acts. But instead, he rattles off a different list of accomplishments, quote unquote, surely in a rather tongue-in-cheek manner. Regarding his work as a minister of Christ, he gives the following list: in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, and cold and nakedness, besides the other things what come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. But why did he do this? Why did he list this? I mean, why did he list these things? Well, though it may sound strange to us, he's boasting, if we might call it that, and he does, once again, use that language. He's boasting of his suffering for the sake of the gospel. His sufferings became something of a badge of honor. After all, when Jesus called him, you remember that he was a persecutor of the church. When Jesus called him on the road to Damascus, he revealed to him how much he must suffer for his name's sake. For whatever reason, St. Paul's calling as an apostle included the call to suffer for the name of Christ. And the apostle did so willingly. Now, with this in mind, we may wonder why this particular lesson was chosen for Sexagesima Sunday. We should keep in mind that these Jessima Sundays serve as a countdown to Lent. They serve to prepare us for the self-discipline that is called for during the Lenten journey, which is really a microcosm of the Christian life. That is, what we're called to undergo in Lent, in some sense, is what we're called to undergo throughout the Christian life. Last week, we heard in our lessons about the necessity of grace for this journey. This week, we've heard about the necessity of perseverance for this journey. This verse comes through in Jesus' parable, which we read this morning, where he talks about how different people respond to the word of God, which he likens to seed. Each soil represents a different response to Jesus' teachings. Jesus describes the second soil by saying, "But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away." In St. Matthew's version, instead of temptation, he uses the words tribulation and persecution, probably in an effort to be more descriptive. Our Lord is teaching us in the parable that in the course of the Christian life, we will face hardships, whether we call them temptations or tribulations or persecution. In light of this, we should be prepared to face such difficulties. It should be noted that this caution is completely at odds with some versions of Christianity which are proclaimed in our contemporary culture. We often hear from popular preachers of our day how the Christian life is supposed to be the easy way. Whatever you want, they say, you should ask for, and ask for it, count on Jesus to give it to you, sort of name it, claim it. They also say that if you're facing hardships, then there must be something defective about your faith. Well, contrast that with what Jesus warns us about in our text, the dangers of temptations and tribulations in the Christian life. In a sense, this is precisely what St. Paul is picking up on in his tongue-in-cheek resume. He lists the trials that he went through in his ministry, and rather than being ashamed of them, he wore them as a badge of honor. That is, in spite of the trouble that he faced, he remained true to his calling. He was undeterred in his duty to proclaim the gospel far and wide, even at the high cost to his own health and well-being. He is an example of one who faced extreme tribulation in life and yet did not forsake the faith. In fact, he would write in his final letter, which he wrote to Timothy just days before he was beheaded in Rome. He writes, "But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. In spite of the tribulations and persecutions that the apostle faced, he persevered until the end and, of course, bore much fruit. Beloved, on this second Sunday before Lent, we are being called to emulate St. Paul in remaining true to Christ regardless of what difficulties that we face in this life. We're called to persevere in the faith. Most of us will never face what St. Paul faced, thanks be to God. I'm not sure how many of us could take it. In fact, in some ways, he is an extreme example of one who suffered for Christ. But in whatever tribulations that we face in this life, may we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. May God give us grace to finish our race, that we may, with St. Paul, receive the crown of everlasting life. Amen. Now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."